Well, we're going to begin with 188. It's good to see you. Welcome to you on this Resurrection Sunday morning. And we rejoice in our living Lord. 188 at the cross. Hope it's not one the pastor picked, but... All right, well, I was looking for this line that we just sang in the second verse where it says, "Amazing pity," that the Lord took pity and kindness on you and I to die for us. And then that statement, "Grace unknown," such grace, love for us and such opportunity to be saved, grace unknown and love beyond degree, amazing love of the Lord. All right, let's take our Bibles this morning, and let's begin in John chapter 20, which is the story of the resurrection, John chapter 20. And I've never really looked at this in the scriptures until this message, just this week we were working on this, about the connection of Mary Magdalene and the resurrection of our Lord. Verse 1, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved," and we know that that is John, "and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet he went not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back, and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And we'll just stop there for now. But Mary Magdalene, meeting the Lord. And Mark tells us that she is the first one that saw the resurrected Savior. Other than Mary Magdalene, there are three other Mary. There are three other than herself. There are three others, one being Mary, the mother of our Lord, and then there's other Marys as well. And sometimes it's hard to keep them straight, perhaps even impossible sometimes to know which Mary exactly is being talked about, except that Mary, the mother of our Lord, is always referred to as that way, and Mary Magdalene is always referred that way. And she's called Mary Magdalene because she's from Magdala. And these were women that were with our Lord. If you go back, go over to Luke chapter 8 with me for a moment. Luke chapter 8. Luke 8 and verse 1. It came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, and certain women, meaning they were with him, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. So there's a number of important things here. These were women that were with our Lord. Now, the Lord met Mary Magdalene after the feeding of the 5,000. He went to her town. That's likely when he met her. We don't know for sure. Doesn't say. But when he met her, she was a wild, demon-possessed woman, and had the seven devils. And it mentions here in verse 2 that's the shape she was in when Jesus met her. She was desperate to be freed from those devils and to be at peace again in her mind. And people who have devils are usually people who have been involved in some gross sin. There has to be something of which there is an opportunity for the devil to take over your life. And so we see today that there are things that offer that. One of the things that's offered that offers a door to your life and your body for the devil to come in is open immorality. Another one is drug use. Drug use clearly is an opportunity for the devil to come in. And even some rock music has associated with it the presence of the devils or demons or however you want to refer to them. And Jesus met Mary Magdalene, and although her case is desperate, her case is not any worse than many of the others of which our Lord has met, which reminds us that no matter what our sins are, the Lord can conquer them. And all sin brings bondage, the Bible says. Even in Psalm 73:6, it said, "Pride compasseth them about as a chain." Pride surrounds us. If pride is our sin, that also is like a chain to us. But there is still power in the blood of the Lord Jesus to cast out devils, and no one need to miss heaven because of their sins. Revelation 2:24 refers to adultery as knowing the depths of Satan. He writes to those who have not known the depths of Satan as others have, and referring to that sin. And perhaps at no time in the world's history, other than before the time of the flood, has the world been given over to immorality like it is today. And with the Lord Jesus, he is still interested in saving souls and taking people to heaven no matter what their sins are. And in Noah's time, it says every imagination of man's heart was only evil continually. And you don't have to look very far to see that's the way people are today. One thing is certain, that if someone would turn to the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart and all their soul and ask the Lord to save him, he will at that moment forgive your sins, past, present, future, all our sins, forgiven by him. And what will be the result of trusting the Lord and of truly being saved? Well, we look in Mary Magdalene's life and we see that the first thing was service. It's mentioned here in verse 3 that these women ministered in the Lord. They didn't just follow him. They worked in the background. And they were always there working. And there should always be in every single person saved an intense love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because of gratitude. We owe a debt that we could not pay. We in our sins were so guilty before God with absolutely nothing we could do to earn a place in heaven or to get a sin forgiven. We could do nothing. We could only plead to the Lord for mercy. We were in a bondage that we could not escape. We were headed for a hell that we certainly deserved. And to be forgiven by the Lord and be freed brings a natural love for Him that nothing else does. To know that you are saved. I remember where I was. I remember what tree I was kneeling under when I was saved. I remember the sins being taken off of me. I know what happened when I was there. I was there, I know what happened. And I know I was saved and my life was changed. And we should have a natural love, every one of us, for the Lord. Maybe ask, what kind of love do we have? It should be a personal attachment to the person of Christ and last forever. That's the kind of love that Mary Magdalene had for the Lord Jesus. And she devoted her life to serve Him. And she's mentioned as part of this group of women disciples that among other things, gave of their substance, the ministered unto Him of their substance. That substance just means wealth and possessions, property. These are the ways that they ministered the Lord. Now the Bible says that Judas was a thief and he had the bag. And so he made sure he kept the Lord's party of disciples poor. These women, including Mary Magdalene, they went to the market, they did the shopping, they sometimes paid for the food out of their own personal wealth and out of their own pocket. Probably did things like washing the clothes of the Lord and the disciples. Certainly they would wash their feet and made meals, cleaned up after them. They were in the background. They're always there following the Lord in His ministry and seeing the miracles that He did and listening to Him as they had opportunity. And if you love the Lord, if you're truly saved, you will gladly, willingly serve Him. And Mary Magdalene is a perfect picture of that. And you won't need someone twisting your arm to make you do it either. It'll come from your heart if it's real. And then if you go over to Matthew 27... Matthew chapter 27. And let's look at verse 50. This is our Lord on the cross in verse 50, and it says, Jesus, when He had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Now Philippians 2:8 says, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So the Bible makes it clear that the Lord had to become obedient unto death. He had to choose to die. He's the Prince of Life. Had He not chosen to die, He'd still be on the cross today. He could not die. He is God in human flesh. But He chose that. He chose death, not just any death, the Bible says, even the death of the cross, the worst of a death that anyone could endure. And here it is specifically said that of His decision in verse 50, that He yielded up the ghost. He gave up the spirit, which means to send away, to let go. And so the Prince of Life could not die unless He died on purpose. He died on purpose for our sins. And then verse 51 says, and behold, the veil of the temple is rent in twain or in two from the top to the bottom. The earth did quake and the rocks rent and the graves were open. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves, watch, after His resurrection. So the graves are opened here, but they didn't come out of their graves. Of those who were saved, who had already died, some of them came out of their graves after the resurrection of our Lord. and went into the city and appeared unto many. You say, well, what do we know about that? Nothing more than that verse right there. Some who had been saved and perhaps were recently buried, but we don't know, but they were saved people, and they couldn't have been dead too long, because they went into the city and appeared to many, and they probably appeared to people who knew them and who would recognize them for who they were and know them as saved. And then in verse 54, when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus on the cross, watching all things were done, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, watch, ministering unto him. And those women in the background, among which, verse 56, was Mary Magdalene, right at the top of the list. Who's the top of the list? Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children, and our Lord's mother also, which is not mentioned in this verse. And here's an account of them. As Jesus was there most of the day on the cross, these women were there standing in the background, afar off, but they were recognized. They were recognized as belonging there, as people who ministered to the Lord and cared for him and had come out of Galilee with him. And they stood there watching our Lord. Now Mary, the mother of our Lord, appears to have come a little bit closer. One disciple actually came to the crucifixion, John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, one of them came, and our Lord, while on the cross, committed the care of his mother to John. It was believed that at that time, he probably took her home, to his home, and cared for her. It had been a dreadful day for her to see all that had happened to the Lord Jesus. And yet Mary Magdalene is here, and the mother of James and Joseph, the mother of Zebedee's children, James and John's mother is also there. And they stood there. They stood there most of the day, watched the long hours of him suffering and the death of our Lord as he is in this passage, just died. When I was... One of the churches where I was pastoring, there was an older gentleman passed away. But he used to say to me, he'd say, Pastor, every time when I read of the crucifixion of our Lord, he says, I cry. I can't read that, he said, without crying. Have you stood at the cross in the reading of your own Bible? And such suffering as he became sin for us who knew no sin. The perfect, holy God dying in human flesh and suffering and dying for us. He became sin for us. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we're yet sinners means while we cared nothing of him, we just wanted sin. Christ died for us. We were his enemies. And we would have been of those who mocked him those hours during his suffering. And they found some evil pleasure in watching him die. While we were just like that, Christ died for us and paid for our sins. And it's hard to think about our Lord there on the cross. He became sin for us that he put our sins on him. The Father made him sin for us. And he who had never knew what a lie was, for God cannot lie, there he is on the cross and lies. The lies of your life and the lies of my life all being put on him as the Savior suffered and died. Every... Every evil and hurtful thing that any of us have ever done, every evil thought being put there on the Lord Jesus Christ, Him suffering and dying, all the murders of the world are being put upon Him, all the lies, all the immoral acts are being put on the pure Son of God as He dies for our sins. He bore our sins in His own body on the tree, the Bible says. And He suffered for us as He became sin. And we often think of the torment of the cross, of the great spikes that held Him there, and of all of the wounds that He had. But then there were our sins. If it wasn't enough for all the physical suffering that the Lord endured, there was all that spiritual suffering of bearing of our sins. And yet God showed His love for us, that while we cared nothing for Him, He certainly cared for us and died for our sins so that we could be forgiven and have a home in heaven. They said, come on down from the cross if you be the Son of God. He saved others, Himself He cannot save. Exactly. He's taking our sins. He could not come down. He needed to stay there and pay for our sins, or there could be no way that we could be forgiven. The seriousness of the cross and of the suffering, and all the guilt of lost men put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and so that I could be saved, and so that I could be forgiven, so that I could belong in heaven. The importance of trusting the Lord Jesus and being saved. In Matthew 27, in verse 57, right where we should be here. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. Now, we're not told in this passage, but in other passages we're told that he's joined by someone else at this point. He's joined by Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night. Nicodemus was kind of a secret disciple of Jesus until the trial. Him and Joseph of Arimathea mentioned that they consented not to the death of the Lord. They were members of the Sanhedrin, both of them. They consented not to the death of our Lord. And then here they both are, Joseph going to Pilate, begging the body of Jesus in verse 58, and taking down the bleeding body of our Lord and showing such care and love for Him. And they took it to Joseph's new tomb. It was close at hand. In verse 59, when Joseph had taken the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn in the rock, and rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre, and departed. In other passages, we're told that they took 100 pounds weight of aloes and other spices, and they put that in the cloth as they wrapped the body of our Lord, laid it in his own new tomb, and put the stone on the door and departed. But verse 61 says, and there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. As long as the day had been, even when Joseph and Nicodemus were finished burying the body of our Lord, sitting across from the grave over there was Mary Magdalene. And the other Mary, whichever one that might have been, just sitting there. They just stayed. And they stayed and they looked and they thought and probably were there weeping. And then we come to John chapter 20. If you want to go back there with me in John 20. We read it, so I won't go through it all again. But in verse 1 it says, Mary came while it was still dark to the sepulchre. She came first by herself. She was here. She found the stone rolled away. It seems, as it's put here, almost that she just assumed that the body of our Lord was taken because the stone was gone. And she was correct that the body of the Lord was not there. But she was incorrect in assuming that someone had taken him. Instead, he was risen from the grave. And so she found the stone and rolled away, ran and told his disciples, Peter and John, and they came running. John, perhaps younger than Peter, outran him, but didn't go into the sepulcher, waited at the outside. Peter came running, just went right on in, and they saw the grave clothes lying there, and they saw the napkin folded or rolled together by itself, in a different place, as our Lord got up from out of those grave clothes without even disturbing them, just vanished out of them. But then as he stood there, he took the cloth that covered his head and folded it up and put it down, because he was finished with that and finished being in the grave. And the disciples came, they looked in there, they saw the grave clothes. John says here that he believed. Mary obviously came back with them. And when they went home, wondering in themselves what had happened. But she stood outside weeping, looking in the grave. She stooped down, the Bible says. So she got down so she could look in and see what was going on. And she saw in there the two angels. In verse 11, she stood without, she wept, she stooped down, she looked in the sepulcher, and seeth the two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had laid. it's quite a thing, because they say to her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" She saith unto them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. She saw him, didn't look directly at him, just saw someone standing there, her eyes full of tears. She stooped down, she looked in there, and she saw two angels who talked with them. These are the same angels, one of which... when the stone was rolled away, sat on it, and the keepers, the Roman soldiers, who were responsible to guard the grave, became as dead men. They were so scared at the presence of the angel. Mary Magdalene sees the same angels and is completely unfazed. There's no awe, there's nothing remarkable. They talk to her. She answers them. Why? She's not there to see angels. She's there to see the Lord Jesus. She wants to know what happened to him. And she didn't care about the angels. She talked to them, was respectful to them, but didn't, there was no great effect of any kind on her life by the presence of those angels like there were of those unsaved Roman soldiers. We so easily get off of following the Lord. We get distracted by things. Something happens in our lives, and all of a sudden, we're just completely off track, and we're not serving Him. We're doing our own thing, or we're snared by the love of money, or we're unfaithful in reading the Bible, or we can't even make a few minutes to pray, let alone an hour that perhaps is necessary. What is it about Mary Magdalene that helped her, that had her be able to keep this focus upon the Lord? Love. It is her love for the Lord that enables her to keep such a focus as she has. Is our love gone cold? The Bible says, concerning the last times in which we live, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Because iniquity abounds, we live in a world where where sin is abounding, and so much sin, is that causing us to love the Lord less than we should? Is it causing our love to be cold? A matter-of-fact sort of thing, but it doesn't really move us like it should and like it used to. Would we have stayed at the sepulcher? Would we have wept if we could not find the Lord? Then in verse 14. When she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, knew not that it was Jesus. And the Lord asked her almost exactly the same question, except for he says, "Woman, why weepest thou?" He adds this, "Whom seekest thou?" Knowing that she's looking for someone. But she supposes him to be the gardener, it says. And says, if you've taken him somewhere, if you've borne him hence, if you've taken him out of there, and tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away. And then Jesus said unto her, "Mary." Jesus said, "Mary." Do we hear the Lord calling us by name? Do we hear the risen Savior calling us? She didn't recognize the voice of the Lord until he said her name. The others say your name. Some people will say your name and they'll say it in a way that it sounds like an insult. And some people can say your name and it's you may be in a crowd and it may not even move you. But some use it in friendship. But to hear it when you have a broken heart by the Lord Jesus himself, the one who you've loved like Mary Magdalene and served in her lifetime, to see that he is risen, that he has the victory over sin and death and hell, and he calls your name if you're saved, it is the sweetest thing to know. The Lord calls us by name. He knows us by name. He cares about us. When he calls her woman, it doesn't seem to faze her until he said Mary. And is it that we cannot stay at the tomb? The disciples couldn't stay at the tomb. The disciples couldn't show up at the crucifixion except one. But Mary was there all day. No disciple was at the grave. Mary was there long after Joseph and Nicodemus had left. Excuse me. And here, after Peter and John have gone home, they looked in, they were all done. Mary wasn't done. She stood there weeping, the Bible says. Why is there such a lack of love in our hearts for the Lord? We should wonder what's wrong with us. We look in the mirror every day. How is it that we never see our real selves? We never see what we are in heart and soul and what needs to be changed in our lives or what we have become over the years. In Revelation 2:4, the Lord said to the church, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love." Do we love the Lord like we did when we were first saved? And do we have the same childlike faith in him to adventure our lives, to trust him as we were willing to trust him with all as we were saved? Would the Lord say to us this morning, "I have somewhat against thee"? Now that was a bit of a problem if the Lord says, "I have somewhat against you." And then to say that what he has against us is that we left our first love, which is him. Do we first love him? Do we love him more than all? Would we be willing to give up anything for the Lord Jesus Christ? And Mary Magdalene had that kind of love. We usually have a feast around Easter time to rejoice with our families. I was at Walmart. There are a lot of turkeys. A lot of people have turkey at Easter. We had one with our family as well. And before you make the meal, you know, you usually look in the fridge, you find the things that you're going to use, and you might look to see if they are expired. Maybe open it up and smell it. You know, is this still good to use? And we're very careful about that. That if we're going to cook with something, that actually still be good. But I wonder where we are. You know, do we not check our own spiritual self? Do we not take any inventory about where we are with the Lord? Where are we with the Lord now versus a year ago, 2 years ago, 10 years ago? Where are we with the Lord? Are we closer to the Lord now? Is our love for Him greater now than it was before? And do we not see if our spirits have grown sour? Some people have grown sour. They've just gotten uglier with the Lord and with spiritual things. And see if our soul is withered. See if our heart is calloused and hard. And seriously look at what we are.
And why do the Catholics put so much emphasis on Mary Magdalene?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know well enough to comment on that. But to see the risen Lord was such a marvelous thing with Mary. And interestingly enough, there is mentioned here that she wanted to hug Him, obviously. In verse 16 it says, "He said unto Mary, she turned herself and said unto Him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend to my Father, and to your Father, and to my God, and your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the risen the Lord, and that He had spoken these things unto her. She came and told them, I've seen the risen Lord. Now, I think she wanted to hug Him, but he said, oh, touch me not, I'm not yet ascended, he said to the Father. As our high priest, once the high priest had the blood, once he had the blood and was going into the Holy of Holies with it, no one could touch the priest between the time that he had the blood and the time he sprinkled it. Our Lord obviously had His blood as our great high priest. He was going into heaven. And He went there and took His blood. And that blood still speaks today. It speaks, the Bible says, better things than that of Abel. Abel's blood was when he was murdered by his own brother, his blood was in the ground. And the Lord said that the blood, the earth opened her mouth to receive the blood of Abel when he was killed. But his blood called out. It called for vengeance. His blood called for vengeance against Cain who had murdered him. But the blood of Jesus Christ speaketh better things than that of the blood of Abel. Because His blood calls out for mercy. His blood calls for us to be saved and trust in Him and to be forgiven of our sins in His precious blood. He speaks your name on this resurrection morning. Does He care for Mary who loved Him so? Certainly He does. Does He notice that she was there in the background all through His suffering, at His burial and beyond after He was buried, she tarried at the tomb? Here, first thing in the morning, while it's still dark, she's the first one to see our Lord. And then later He appeared to several of the women, said, all hail, in which Mary Magdalene was with them at that time, and got to see Him again. And the Lord cares for us. And on this day of remembrance, when we remember the death, burial, and the resurrection of our Lord, we need to remember that His love is eternal and unwavering, and powerful, and he has risen as he said, and is living in heaven now, ascending into heaven. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and they had spoken these things unto her. What a blessing to see the Lord. And we'll see him soon, as our Lord is coming. How we see him? Will we see him like Mary, was the one we longed for? Will we be embarrassed? Will we be ashamed? The Bible says that some are going to be ashamed when Jesus comes. And we want to be looking forward to him and glad, as she was so glad to see him. Father, thank you for your word. And we pray that your word would be a blessing to our hearts and to our lives. That you might remind us, Lord, of the great love that Mary Magdalene had, that each one of us should have in our lives, and a great appreciation, Lord, for all that you have done for us. And to bless us, I pray, with these things that are in your word, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and thank you for your time this morning.